Welcome back to Real Tech Talk, people. Episode number 36. We're bringing you to that commercial real estate realm. Offices getting the crap kicked out of it. What are the things that actually can get incorporated in the tech space that could change that around? We got my man Kyle from Dotted here today. Pay attention, sit down, like, and subscribe, because these are the people that can help you change the game at a time that you need to be paying attention and adopting what they have to say. Come on in, sit down, double chai.
That's why we're here, bro. This is Real Tech Talk, boom shakalaka. So who the hell are you, bro? You know, what are you into? What do you do?
Yo, you can keep it real here. Tell me about these real estate players.
Eric Brody is the managing principal of CEMVC LLC. All opinions expressed by Eric and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of CEMVC LLC. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Clients of CEMVC LLC may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast.
Welcome back, people. It's this time again, Real Tech Talk, episode number 36. And you know, that is a lucky number. And if you know why it's a lucky number, you're in luck. So episode number 36 today, I brought in from deep Texas, my boy, Kyle Waldrop. And we are going deep into commercial real estate and office for one of the first times. We're getting out of the multifamily space. You got to stay relevant. Thank you for coming, kind sir. How are you?
Eric, it's great to be here. Thanks
all
for
right,
the time.
That's awesome. Now, I think we should just tell the audience briefly how we met.
Yeah, let's do it.
We did a competition at Brooklyn Law School for rising tech stars, but, and Kyle will go into it, he is no rising tech star. He has risen, and he won, as he should. So that's how we met.
Yeah, it was a fun night. Back in June, got to do a pitch competition for the NAOP crew, and Eric was our kind MC. Was gassing up everybody before they came up on the stage.
Do you know why I had to be the MC?
No.
Because some of the companies I had like put money in, or I was like, oh, I got to recuse myself from this. I can't do this.
I love that. But it was a great night. Great pitch competition. Happy to win. And now we're here.
Well, I'm super excited to have you. And you know what? Before we get started, and before we talk about specifically the company called Dotted, which I'd like to state, that is a very nice Dotted vest and with the golf shirt you coordinated for us. There's like four people who ever thought maybe I should promote my company, and you did. You do it. That's why you won, you know?
We don't miss an opportunity to brand.
It's the craziest thing. They come on the show, tons of people are watching it, and people aren't branding.
Right.
So, amazing. So, how did your journey into tech start? And then we'll get into Dotted, obviously. But where did it come from? Because it's not like you're from like a tech background, right?
No, not at all. So, long story short, actually, take you back pre-college days. So, grew up in Dallas, born and raised. That's where I live now, so I've never left.
Gun-toting,
yeah,
Second Amendment,
the whole thing.
Shooting
yeah,
swine.
Just everything.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Welcome, baby.
Deep South.
Welcome. Yes.
Deep South.
Yes.
And basically, went to college at SMU to play tennis. And then my world actually changed because I got West Nile virus, which is kind of a crazy interlude into the story.
In Texas?
In Texas, in summer of 2012.
Not near the Nile.
No.
Misnomer.
Fun fact, Dallas was the epicenter of West Nile in the country.
Makes so. Tons of sense.
Great.
You know, that's
why
like,
not?
What was that John Stewart, the coronavirus, the Wuhan lab coronavirus?
Exactly.
That didn't happen for West Nile.
No, it didn't. So, down in Dallas, we were the epicenter, and I was one of the lucky victims. And tennis went away. I was sick for about 2 years. And
holy shit, really?
Yeah, really. It actually changed a lot of the course of my life in so many ways. And so, the story continues. I wanted to be a corporate attorney.
By the way, can we just full pause?
Yeah.
I would love to, when we're not here, because we're going to dinner night, hear all about that.
Because
the getting up from being down is where people are made. And obviously, look where you are today.
Yeah.
That is fascinating. Another side note, we're starting a new podcast called Bropra. And we're going to bring you on as our first.
You'll be our first guest. I can give you all the feels.
Awesome.
But yeah, I wanted to be a corporate attorney, and actually because of my health, I was going to pursue law school, but my parents and I made a decision not to do that. So when you're 21 and 22 in Dallas, Texas, what do you go naturally into?
Shooting?
Commercial real
Killing?
Estate.
I'm sorry. Oh, commercial real estate. My bad.
Yeah, the shooting is next. But commercial real estate, and yeah, so I was actually going to work at a large brokerage firm.
You know what, actually,
school.
And I'm sorry to cut you off. Yeah. I know some guys out of here that were doing massive office buildings in Dallas. So obviously, yeah, you're 100% right.
No, Dallas actually is Dallas is a massive epicenter for commercial real estate firms. And
is it backed by like the oil and gas industry, or is it much more diverse?
Yeah, so it's diversified. Trammell Crow Company, which built a lot of the massive buildings that you see to date.
Mm-hmm.
Trammell Crow started in Dallas, and so that's a lot of the backbone of the commercial real estate history.
So you couldn't do corporate. You're like, what do you do? You get into commercial real estate. So you're coming in from the brick and mortar side.
You got it. I was going to be on the business side. I was going to lease downtown office buildings. And during my interview process with all of these groups, which...
What year was this?
This was 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I started asking the questions of like, why do you not like your job? Mm-hmm. Why do you not like this space? Why could you see something improving here?
Why? Because it was. What did you see that they didn't see? What was your lens?
Well, I was thinking about. It's really easy for people in Dallas, I think, to get trapped into like, oh, I can make a lot of money in real estate, or I can, you know, I can have this nice life, or I can do these nice things and meet these nice people. But I wanted to go do something that was different than that. I mean, if I think about my story for more than 2 minutes, my story is different than that. I had an illness. I was on the ground. I had to get myself up, and so I wanted to make something of myself, and that's also some of our family history.
Mm.
And so that was all part of how I saw the world, and so it was a natural evolution for me to share that story in the form of questioning.
So the Waldrips are always innovating?
My mom was a big innovator down in the city. So my mom started the first female women's OB-GYN practice in the state of Texas back in the 80s. And so I grew up with that. And so
obviously,
I have had that in the blood. And
So how long did you get into the commercial real estate game?
I didn't. I actually turned down a job offer in the president of the Southwest Region's office mid-June of 16. Had the idea for what is now Dotted at the time. Told him that one day his company would be using our platform, and
But you didn't have the experience yet.
No, I didn't.
But you didn't know the processes with which to sort of change. How did you get that experience?
I learned it on my own. It was self-taught. I actually had some people who came around me. They gave me sample leases. They took me on tours. They took me through the deal process. I talked to asset managers.
So what was the aha moment?
So the aha
moment. Obviously, I see your mom is an innovator. But you don't have. But there's nothing to innovate yet.
No,
what
exactly.
What is it, that you're thinking of innovating?
So taking a look at some of the, call it business generic industry tools like Asana, Trello, Monday.com, really started putting the pieces together for me on how can leasing and asset management, property management, construction management all be formed into one.
Let's just talk about it. So Asana or Monday, these are workflow softwares,
all workflow softwares.
And how do they operate in general?
Yeah, so they're going to be targeting any industry. So they're going to do task management, deadlines, due dates, reminders, notifications, workspace areas, just a place for people to collaborate.
And it's a cloud-based. Like, why is that better than the Microsoft suite? Or how did they take market share?
So they took market share because so many businesses, at the time didn't have anything. Excel, email, sticky notes, fax machines.
Step one is how do we create a central workspace where everyone is inputting onto this, right? And you're like, fine. So they were there.
They were there. And then I was looking at the real estate space and saying, great, there's a Yardie, there's MRI, there's VTS, there's Altus, which owned Argus. There's these players, but I didn't see a centralized workflow.
Right, but Yardie is data for the asset, right?
Yep.
Multiple assets, WIP reports, right? And then what was the other one you said?
Argus.
So and then Argus is what?
Data on the valuation side. And so basically I'm looking at the players in the space and I was thinking, gosh, how great would it be if you could have a real collaborative workflow platform to drive people's efficiency?
But in a very specific space, commercial real estate.
Correct. Mm-hmm. You got it. And so that was the idea. Frankly, knew nothing at the time. Don't even claim to know anything. But walked out of that office.
It sounds like you don't have to.
Yeah.
Because you're doing great.
You got it.
Don't let that stop you to our audience just because you don't know anything.
Exactly. Cashed out my savings, moved home, and spent 26 months.
What did you spend the money on?
Just learning, traveling. I got a few wireframes put together. These were like early days of Dotted. And then we raised an initial round of funding in the summer of 18.
And what was the pitch? So give me the, because you'll get into what type of platform it is, but you have to have that one feature that's the wedge into it. So what was the thing?
True workflow for leasing. That was it.
Okay. So let's dive into that. So what was the existing paradigm?
Mm-hmm.
And then what did then Dotted provide?
So,
and I know it's gotten bigger, and we'll get into what you're doing now and how you continue to add features. But what was what was it? What was what you were competing with?
Yes.
And I know it wasn't a company. I'm saying, what was that workflow?
So Excel was the big one. And then at the time, you had VTS and Hightower.
But let's talk about it. The broker, right? Who was who was the target?
So the broker, yes, but our vision was a lot bigger than that. Mm-hmm. We knew the broker would actually be a subset user ultimately. You need to get broker adoption initially, because if brokers don't enter data and don't input what you need them to input, nothing happens. But ultimately, we knew they would change from a primary user to a secondary user. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we went after them first. We built the leasing tool first.
So it's office leasing. We're not talking retail. We're not talking resi.
We've got all three. So office, industrial, and retail.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's generic enough to be utilized by any of those asset types.
But it's not a marketing tool.
No, it's not.
Right?
Not a marketing tool. It's not a marketplace. It's not going to do anything on kind of what I would term top of funnel, sales side. It's really going to be leasing and then bottom of funnel towards the asset management side.
Which means what?
So asset management really—
Imagine our audience doesn't know anything about what you're communicating.
Yeah, so asset management really for us looks at four pillars. Mm-hmm. So leasing's one of them. And if I think of an asset or portfolio manager's job, they're the financial fiduciary of the building.
And management, and to make sure that they can create the highest value from that asset, right? I mean, that is their, that's, they're the lieutenant of that building.
We say internally at Dotted that Dotted should make good buildings great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we believe. And so leasing's a pillar, CapEx is a pillar.
Is leasing first?
Is that leasing is first.
Right? So So Dotted interfaces with leasing when? When the broker got an offer, they then input what the value of that was. So you're starting to pick up data. Like, what was the first?
Yeah, so the first thing is really tenant requirements on the leasing side. So tenant rep broker calls leasing broker and says, hey, you know, undisclosed tenant is looking for X number of square feet at X commencement date in X buildings. You own one of them. You know, here's kind of that
type
of
building.
Sales
so you're so you first you're picking up data with this potential tenant. Boom.
You got it. And then you work through the deal process. Obviously, that's going to move from kind of a sales lead into a tour, multiple tours, hopefully an RFP. RFP leads to, you know, the whole leasing transaction process, LOIs, and ultimately a signed lease, and ultimately commencement. And
it's following that. So you get, so you what you just, you went through like seven steps, but Dotted is doing that, right? So first was picking up that data.
Right.
Then you then sent them offers on that that should fit that profile.
Correct.
Then what did they see, right? And you're following them through the funnel to then a letter of intent, which is that tenant's trying to get, you know, TI, right? And you're you're taking this data down so that you're tracking that information,
you got
right?
It.
Then when they execute, it's now going to leasing. So lease is going back and forth.
You got
the
it.
Terms of that lease, you're picking up that data. Then they execute that lease, right, in that process. Then are you do you work with like onboarding them to move into that space?
Yeah. So move-in checklist, ultimately CapEx and TI project build-out. So think not
so
just—
So then it goes to construction management?
You got it. Construction management and property management. And then you've got ultimately, you know, how we see the world is ultimately a building is just the sum of its parts in a lot of ways. You've got the land value, you've got the tenant value, you've got the building itself. But the tenants are going to be the driver of ultimately your income.
Of course.
That's how it works. And
right,
so,
top of line, right? Gross.
You got
it. You can't get gross rents.
Yeah.
It's first.
So the real forward-facing, call it income side, is going to be your leasing side. But then the back-of-house stuff, the CapEx projects, those TI projects, your debt surfacing, and
right,
ultimately—
Right, so just to go back. So leasing, we just spoke about that. Now we got capital expenditure. And
you
mean
it.
CapEx not on the tenant actually moving in. You mean CapEx on— roof, if they need to, like if it was New York local law 97, update mechanicals, lobbies, how can you make your building fresh, right? And I just spit if anyone saw it on camera, all right? I'm going to try to work on that.
Well, and I think the whole thing is really geared by that workflow. So workflow is entangled throughout our entire system. It's great to have data, but if you can't make that data actionable, if you can't utilize that in some form or fashion with people, then you're kind of just a little bit lost. It really just becomes static data. And so
CapEx then. So walk me through then a CapEx workflow.
So CapEx can be both two things. It can be building side and or TI side. We'll take the TI first. So TI is just a suite. You're looking to move that tenant into an office space, and you've got a CapEx project where you got to build them out a suite.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to be tracking is bid requesting, financials and budgeting. You're going to be tracking the workflow from a task level perspective, due dates.
And you want them to stay on Dotted for all that.
You
don't
got
then
it. Don't leave.
Pass off to a press off to like a construction software. Stay on Dotted for that.
We believe that Dotted really should be the operating system for the asset, and so that's the simplest way I can boil it down. That leasing is obviously going to be your top of funnel, but then it's going to transition to CapEx.
Of course.
Ultimately.
So now So that was leasing side CapEx or building CapEx. Yep. And it's supposed to be that the process and the workflow is on Dotted. So you said there were two more. What would be the next one?
So debt is really just going to be basic debt information, surfacing that debt information at a property and portfolio level.
Well, let's stay with property, and then you'll pull me out to portfolio.
So at the property level, debt is being, you know, there's actually a bunch of great tools, but there's so many people that still use Excel. And we're not getting real deep into debt. We're not going to be some massive debt platform. That's not our goal. But giving a place to surface that information, that's a huge deal.
What, because what data would that asset need on the debt side? Obviously, from, when payments are due, the insurance
critical dates,
costs,
financial covenants, DSCR minimums, all of call it the basics on
that
your building.
You automate checking monthly against and give a red flag?
You got
it. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So we do that. And then the last one is valuation. But valuation is actually not our product. Valuation is a bidirectional connector with Argus. Mm-hmm. So Argus owns the valuation space. They have forever. It's kind of the longest standing, most robust valuation tool.
Why? Because they have the data, right?
They have the data.
It's not as if it's useful beyond if I plug in this information. They have the greatest data within the United States or the world about what those valuations should be.
Right.
But it's not, they're not forward facing. It's just what transacted, right?
It's what transacted. You can also house rent rolls inside of Argus. You can do a number of different things, which are neat. But really, Argus is utilized to scenario plan. So you're going to go run an Argus model on what happens if and then when. Mm. And so we don't do that. That's not our game. But what we do interact is we want to pull some of that data in at the property level. So that our customers
are you giving
know.
Like it's almost as if that client or they're using Dotted can know at any moment based on whatever variables are happening, CapEx in out, what the value of it is.
Ultimately, that's the game.
And tell me if I'm wrong or not, but Argus has sort of set or the market has set what each value of a lease, depending on what type of tenant it is, it's plussing and minusing on this really nuanced level. But they don't do that. They can't change that, can they? It's just is.
Well, anytime someone underwrites something, you can make the numbers
underwrite
to whatever
saying.
You want it to be.
Yeah.
Inside of Argus, you're going to go pick a model, you're going to pick a scenario, and then ultimately we pull some of that data, not all that data, we don't need all of it, but we pull some of that data over to Dotted because what we're trying to get is there's a consolidation effort happening from a workflow perspective in the asset management level. If I think about how I manage a building, why go to 5 different solutions, 10 different solutions
to get
data that don't talk?
Of course.
When I've got, a Dotted operating system where I can go in and I can pull
all
the right
reason,
things.
Well, the reason, though, that I see is your UX experience,
right?
Like, if it's dope and the architecture is super simple and I don't have to relearn Excel and I don't have to relearn Microsoft and I already knew Monday and Asana and Argus, I'm going to stick with what I know.
You got it.
But if your UX is fresh and all of a sudden people are like, oh, I love this experience, they'll do it.
Yeah, and I think that's where we've had the biggest win for us is the usability of Dotted has become the real key. Because anytime you build a product, if it's not usable, you can have the greatest thing ever, but it doesn't get adoption.
So tell the audience, so where are you at now? Like, what have you done? I know, you've raised really well.
Yep.
I know it's public, but tell them, a lot of people here, it's like pre-seed, pre-rev. You're not.
Sure. We're not. No, we're an operational business.
And when did you start?
So we came to market, call it April, May of 21. So we really spent our time in the trenches building out product before we came to market. We've raised a bunch of money, and we're now out market selling. We've got customers across the country.
We forgot to talk about, but the thing that's really fascinating is multiple building portfolios, right? Everything you're stating, I guess, then rolls up, right?
Yeah, it does.
So it could be a single user for a single asset, but it could also be 10 and the experience is the same, right?
Yeah, we've got tens and tens and tens and tens of millions of square feet on. And some customers have 800,000 square feet. Some customers have 15
million square feet. But how many buildings? Like, it could be one building, 800. But what's the biggest customer with the amount of buildings?
So the amount of buildings is typically going to be on the industrial side. Office is going to be, your mid-rise to high-rise type of office buildings. But industrial, you could have a bunch of Class B or Class C kind of infill industrial
locations.
But one client
owns 10 buildings?
Oh, yeah.
You have a portfolio 10,
20,
function,
30,
right?
40. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we talk to prospects that have 200, 300 buildings. Especially on the industrial side.
And how are they doing with this onboarding? We were out at Blueprint, as we said last week, and it's like I'm sitting down with every massive multifamily, and they're scared. They're pensive. They don't want to put this stuff on if it doesn't work. How you guys been doing there?
So onboarding, we've tried to make it as simple as possible. Obviously, good data in is going to breed good data out. I think where we have focused is building out a very robust API infrastructure. And all that is to simplify that is that we talk to a lot of other systems. And so systems that are Yardi, Argus,
right, so that they, so
MRI,
that we know it's the ability to import
you
the
got
existing
it.
Crap that yeah. they have into a usable fashion, like quickly, yeah. right?
Yep. We actually just released in June our bidirectional connector with MRI. And what this does is it allows our MRI customers to pull in their data really fast at a property level. And we also get to write back to MRI at a deal level.
And what's MRI?
So MRI is, I would say, one of the largest accounting systems in the world.
Okay, so like a Sage or a QuickBooks, yeah, but for it. Buildings is MRI. And for you building. Made that deal with them.
Yes, and we're actually now building an integration with Yardi. So mm-hmm. Yardi and MRI, they kind of go head-to-head in the accounting space, and they've built two great products. And so we're going to go both places and get integrations with both.
So I have two questions for you. So first sure. is, it sounds like you're whale hunting, and that's not so easy. And for our audience to know, whale hunting is, do you want to have one customer who's giving you $10,000, a 10,000 customers giving you a dollar, right? Because when you go whale hunting, they make you tweak everything, and it really was just a proprietary software for them, and it's not dotted.
Right.
So how do you avoid that?
Yeah, so we came to market actually in, call it the longer tail of market, under 20 million square feet from a building owner perspective, office, industrial, retail. So we haven't pigeonholed ourselves just into one asset type. But ultimately, we're now being pulled up into this large institutional space. And the institutional space, to your point, Eric, is, yeah, it is whale hunting. But I think what we've done a really good job of is staying tried and true to what we believe about our product.
Yeah, so what do you tell them? Tell me what you say when they try to tweak your shit.
We say no.
Yeah. Go F yourself.
We say no.
Say. Yeah.
Oh,
you don't
no.
say that because yeah. you're a good guy. I'd be like,
I'm
go
kind.
Fuck yourself.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah,
so
no,
you tell them no and you take it or leave it.
Well, and the thing is our product team does such a great job of listening inside of the customer interviews is that no isn't just no for, you know, 3 months from now, 9 months from now, 12 months from now. Oftentimes customers are seeing their request. Mm-hmm. We just bake it into how we build roadmap. Mm-hmm. And so the roadmap is going to lead us down to the place where the most customers want to be from a product perspective, and I think our team's done a really excellent job of that.
Well, that's interesting, and that goes to the next point. So what is the roadmap, right? Because
yeah.
And it's a SaaS platform, am I right?
Yes.
Right? So you're charging per square foot, per building,
per square foot.
SaaS is a feature game, mm-hmm. right? You have to keep adding this shit, and then hopefully you get sold and like you're c'est la vie, but like it's features, and you got to keep being competitive, right? So what are you seeing like sort of in that space? What's the roadmap? Where do you go?
So our four pillars are going to remain the same. We've also built out an insights platform. And actually at Cretech tomorrow, we'll launch our AI platform as well.
So insights. So first is like I talk about all the time.
Yeah.
You want to give that asset owner business intelligence from their data that they're not seeing.
Yeah.
So they're like, cool. They're actually calculating some things and telling us something about our building maybe we don't see.
Yeah. Think average NERs. Think weighted average.
What's that acronym?
You know, net effective rent.
Mm-hmm.
Weighted
I like
average.
How it tested you, right?
Yeah. Weighted
stay on
average
top of
lease
your
term.
Shit, dude.
Yeah.
So net effective rent.
Yeah. Net effective rent. Weighted average lease term. So your WALTs.
Right.
Understanding your top 10 tenants by all sorts of different metrics. Who you've done the most deals with from a brokerage perspective. So keeping the brokerage teams honest on who's working and who's not. And what buildings are really performing well. I mean, ultimately.
Can I tell you, it seems like dotted. We always say, like, you invest in things that mitigate cognitive labor, right? That basically would be like an assistant asset manager. Not the big the big cheese, but maybe they can thin out their teams if they have dotted.
Well, and I think that's where the operational efficiency is really what we're after.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see ourselves as, you know, replacing teams of people, but we see ourselves automating certain processes, which automation of certain processes allows people to, you know, reinvent their organizational structure. And I think that's a compelling reason to utilize dotted.
So you had said something. You said, we are going to unveil AI. Mm-hmm. And AI is a large language model, right? This doesn't crunch numbers.
Yep.
AI, you know, we had a guy on who explained it. How are you then going to layer in AI and why?
Yeah, so we think about all of our customers in their own individual instance. So their data is their data. We're not building a marketplace. We're not taking it to market. We're not selling it in backroom deals. We're not doing any of that.
Well, that's every time someone seems to do that, they're getting litigation now.
Yeah.
RealPage, and then who else is getting sued right now?
A bunch of the multifamily owners.
Yeah, they're all getting
for
price fixing. You might want to not get involved.
We're not doing that. That is not our thesis. So where our thesis is actually helping your business operate more efficiently. And so AI is just another form of that. Frankly, it's not wild and crazy. It's not this, you know, new age thing. Obviously, ChatGPT, hello, and others have been around and, you know, are doing things that are great from an open source perspective. We believe in our AI helping you and your data inside your own individualized instance just be an assistant. So if I want to know, hey, if I want to chat the AI bot and know how many inquiries I had this week or what was my downtime on these certain spaces, how long have they been vacant? What was the average NER on the last six deals that I did? When do I have vacancies coming up the next 2 years? And which suites? I just get to ask the assistant that. I don't have to go pull a report.
Right. Can I tell you? I want to tell you. You told me you had kids, right?
I don't have kids.
You don't have kids.
Don't have kids.
Okay. So someone else. But yeah. I was thinking, right? And I was on the phone yesterday. And he said, you know what the future is that you're going to interface with your computer systems through voice, like Alexa and the rest of them, right? So I have two children. That's how they search, right? So they're searching whatever they want. They're using voice.
Right.
So it's fascinating because I do think it has value. So it's not the reason that it's going to be successful. But the way in which the future wants to communicate with their systems is through these types of protocols. So it didn't change your four pillars. It doesn't change what you do. But how much easier than thinking of you can just have a conversation to get the data you want.
Well, and so many people are so used to the Excel reports. I mean, everyone in real estate lives or dies by Excel. And why not just bring Excel forward in a natural language format? That just, you know, that makes total sense. And so that's what we're doing through Dotted AI.
So just some of the last stuff. Let's talk a little bit just about the company.
Yeah.
So who were some of the venture, was it venture or was it industry that was like your biggest investor?
So we've got institutional capital. LPC Ventures is also on the venture side. So Lincoln Property Company based out of Dallas.
But they're a venture company, Lincoln Property.
So Lincoln
venture?
Property Company.
I've heard
yes.
of Lincoln Property, yeah, yeah, yeah. But is it like they have a venture
they
arm?
Have a venture arm. Exactly. So we've had investors both on the institutional side and the call it VC side. And then we've been really blessed to have a larger investor out of Dallas that's been our biggest supporter and proponent. He believes very strongly in what we're building and the future of how our product will interact with the space. And so, yeah, we've been able to raise good money.
What other venture capital? Any of the, like, you know, the monsters of venture?
Not yet. I think where we've gone is we'll look to do strategics here coming up soon. You know, think of Crow Holdings or Nuveen or JLL, groups like that we'll talk to.
Right, but that's on the hard asset,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
You try to like learn from the mistakes of trying to use high-octane VC money?
Yeah, well, I think some of the VC money, while it is very interested in prop tech, may just not have some of the boots on the ground yet. I don't know. It just hasn't been a space that we've spent a ton of time in, and so I don't want to nix it before it happens.
Yeah.
But I do think the strategics know this. Know the space, know who the operators are, and know the people.
Yeah, there's like this thing of like penetrating the space where you're talking to your other friends that are doing it, and like you're like, all right, it really works because everyone is really concerned about getting it to work.
Well, and I think, yeah, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but I think there's a chasm in the space right now where you've got a lot of innovation happening, but you may have fewer people that actually want that innovation to occur. And this comes down to the form of adoption and people that make decisions on adoption. I think oftentimes the technology arms inside businesses that we talk to and prospects we talk to don't necessarily know what's going on in the business side.
Well, they have no juice either.
Right.
And it's so like it's, they did it sort of as like a cush job that's actually not driving, you know, innovation.
Well, I think that's a real downturn, you know, for the space. If I look at, you know, call it the next upcoming years, because there's a lot of opportunity to really innovate here, but people have to be willing to say yes.
Yeah, we keep seeing the same thing. There's all this friction of actually adopting, and we were talking about it earlier. One of the largest funds out there is like, we want in, but then they're not taking it. And it's interesting because you and I know if you have this data, it's going to help your valuations, especially in a down market. Like it makes zero sense for whatever the cost is, the value would come back tenfold.
You got it.
So let me ask you some sort of rapid fire questions, all right? So what's the biggest challenge that it has so far?
Adoption.
Yeah. Name one surprising thing they wouldn't know about Dotted.
One surprising thing they wouldn't know about it. Gosh. Product-wise or company-wise?
I don't know. Whatever you want. It's got a mascot. That'd be surprising. Is it the Dotted dog?
Yeah. So Dotted is signed on the Dotted line.
Hey, there it is. All right. What is something no one tells you about being an entrepreneur?
Sleepless nights are caused typically by the intangible things than the tangible things.
Ooh, I like that. And then what's your proudest career moment so far?
Honestly, the blessing of getting to run the business. It's just such a gift. It's a gift to be able to do it every day, and it's a gift to interact with our team.
And the last question, because we want to know a little bit about you, okay? What do you do in your free time when it's not Dotted all day?
Play tennis.
Tennis?
So tennis.
Oh, yeah. So you got back into tennis. West Nile didn't take you out of that,
It did not
huh?
take me out. It kept me down for a while, but couldn't take me out.
And then also golf, right?
Yeah, play a little golf.
So that means you must play paddle as well.
Play paddle and pickleball.
Paddle and pickle.
Oh, yeah.
Did you play lacrosse ever?
I never played lacrosse.
Okay, great. Sadly. And when are you hunting?
Next 2 weeks.
All right.
It's duff hunting season in Texas.
That better watch out. He's coming. All right. Thank you so much for your time, brother. It was really an awesome conversation.
Eric, great.
All right. Appreciate it. You know, we talk about it. We see it. We believe it. But that is something that is changing the game. He said he had the four pillars of commercial real estate. He's saying that people are still using Excel and workflows that aren't actually working. So I feel like tech 1.0 was, let's just put it in the cloud. Tech 2.0 was, oh, we have these other workflows. Tech 3.0 is, let's make it specific to commercial real estate. That space is about massive companies, massive buildings. What are they all working together on to know if they are achieving those goals? This seems to be a technology that should be incorporated across the platform. We briefly spoke about it. Should you whale hunt because they'll make you change what you're doing? It sounds to me that he's figured out that special sauce, and that's why he's had so much investment. Dotted is a company you should be paying attention to. Follow them wherever they are on LinkedIn, and then experiment with what they have. Now, again, they're way too big for me, but it was my pleasure to sit down with him to see how he's changing that commercial real estate game, and they have traction. So you better look out there for my man at Dotted, because this one, I think, is going to go far.